Well, I want to welcome you to this section of what I'm calling a conversation with a couple of pastors. And you guys have probably already met Henry Ryanga, who is the president of CLI. But I've invited him in to have a conversation with me today because I think it's important for us to broaden the conversation just from one talking head, but to really talk about boundaries from a pastoral experience, from an organization, as Henry is the leader of CLI, also has been a church planner for years, is the pastor here at Eagle Rock. So he has a wide variety of experiences. So I'm inviting him into this conversation about boundaries because I think he's got a lot for us to glean together. And besides, two pastors love to get together and just talk a lot anyway. So the first question I wanted to raise, Henry, was when you think about boundaries, what do you think are the most important boundaries in your ministry that you have set in the past, that you've learned about? Where would you start?
Well, thanks, Drew, for that question. You know, in the end of the day, I really believe the boundaries with God still remain the trump boundaries, the most important, because I know that if I start losing that edge, if my walk with God starts going down, if I don't have an opportunity to be in God's Word, if I don't have an opportunity to be with my wife and actually pray with her and talk with her, you know, like one of the boundaries we do is every night before we go to bed, we open the Word, just a few verses, have a little prayer, a few minutes. But that's a boundary that we have found that's really kept our marriage rejuvenated, that, you know, man, woman with God. And I think the boundary of eating with my family every day and opening the Word of God in a fun, winsome way, not this like, we're going to be here for 1 hour, and then, because then what happens is that we violate people's time boundaries of our own family. So I would say, you know, just starting, that's like a crucial boundary. Then healthy church habits. You know, and again, we could probably talk about that. Ministry, boundaries in ministry are sort of, you know, if I were to just briefly go into that, what I'm really concerned about is simple abilities to delegate, to work when you should, to not take on more than you need to, you know, in a sense, have expectations, a staff meeting. Attend the staff meeting. Don't change the staff meeting because something too urgent has come. Because it really is urgent. But if you're, you know, changing staff meetings or appointments, keep them. Be on time. You know, those boundaries are
little things, but big things.
Found that too?
Exactly. And I want to back up for a moment. When you talked about relational boundaries, begin with first of all that relationship with God. For us, I think that there's always that catch-22 that we can spend time with God. And for me, the struggle is making sure that I'm worshiping and fellowshipping with God and learning. Because too often, even when I open the Word of God, it's like sermon preparation.
I'll tell you, if you're preparing for a pastorate, that is like a trapdoor that happens right away. Because you're like, oh, do I get credit for my time with God?
And this will preach. This will preach, right?
And in some ways, it is true. We could do a little bullpen. You know, it's not like it's either or. Like, you know, in my church, we have a Bible reading plan. In the Bible reading plan, our family reads the Bible. You know, I'll open it up. And because that's our style here, I know that my walk translates into ministry. But on the other hand, I don't do ministry to do the walk.
Those are those fine lines of those boundaries. And so it's just a reminder for us as we do that to intentionally make sure that we're, you know, again, those are going to bleed into each other. But to make sure that we do have that time of confession and dealing with before God and making sure that that connection's tight. Because we've emphasized that in this discussion on boundaries, especially time management, this whole realm of making sure that we put that as a priority in all that we do.
You know, in some ways, time management is, in some ways, so core boundary culture-like. You know, just to be able to actually look at our time and just not have our time in the tyranny of the urgent.
Because you know in ministry, you experience it, that we put out the fires constantly. And if we don't prioritize some of those things, particularly, strangely enough, our time with God, that gets pushed down the line.
I know, it was interesting, you know, I was walking, and, you know, we have these iPhones nowadays, and it's amazing because, you know, they allow you to get communication with so many people all the time. So here we're preparing for this presentation, and I'm walking down the hall, and I pull out my iPhone. It's like the old revolver. The Wild West, you know, pull out the, you know. And I look, and oh, there's a Facebook text from somebody who needs pastoral care and marriage counseling.
Yep.
So now, right away, I mean, I didn't ask for it, but it's coming to me.
Yep.
And the way the message was reading, it sounded real urgent.
Exactly.
So now I could drop everything and just go do this.
Yep.
But yet, it would teach the person I dropped everything to not necessarily the right thing.
Exactly.
And it would actually hurt our ministry.
And that's one of those areas that we've talked about and we've got to reiterate in ministry here, is because it's a double-edged sword. For us, it feeds our ego. Somebody needs you, Henry.
Yeah, I know.
And you're the only person that can help in that. You know, it feeds that ego.
Yes, it does.
And yet at the same time, that unless it's a life or death situation, it can be scheduled and put into the proper bounds of all that.
Yes.
It's a good reminder.
Yeah.
The other part that you mentioned was about family boundaries.
Yes.
And I think particularly in that relationship with our wives as well. Speak to that a little bit, because oftentimes if we don't make that and pull that in, that the church can easily become, you know, our secret lover or our second wife.
Well, you know, for me, Friday is my day off. And it's hard to keep Friday preserved. And I know for all of you, you're going to be challenged. I mean, I have also the presidency of Christian Leaders Institute and the pastoring of Eagle Rock Community Church. And I don't have a lot of time for television and video games and things that can distract. Because if I were to do that, my family would be the most to suffer. So in a sense, you know, and there's always 24 hours in the day. But it really comes down to when you have a young family. I know for me, it was like, we'd eat together, and for that hour, even after the dinner, I'd be on the floor playing with the kids, and it didn't matter.
Yep.
That's what it is.
Yep.
And then now I ended up with a son and four daughters.
Yeah.
So now it's like, after 10 o'clock, there's late night conversations and there's all this other, you know. And if I don't, you know, and that is
what you thought you were done getting up, staying up late with kids, right? Now the older they get, it kicks in after 10 o'clock, you know.
But you know, every part of the life cycle, it seems like family boundaries, if you don't place them there,
right,
they will not be there.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
and that's important no matter what stage of life we're in.
Do you find that too?
How
do you
exactly. And I think it's important for us, for me as well, because my wife works and also is part of ministry.
Oh,
so then, you know, it's the balance of all those things. And plus, I want her to be a part of that conversation of ministry, not feeling like she's on the outside of that.
Yeah,
so
there's
that dance, that balance.
Wow.
Who else speaks into your boundaries?
Well, I mean, of course, my wife.
Yep.
And she just, like, speak into it, dear. Also, our elders.
Yep.
You know, I have a couple of really close mentoring elders where we do mutual mentorship.
Okay.
And I just open my life and I keep it transparent.
That's good.
You know, and then I have other mentors outside the church.
Mm-hmm.
I have other close friend pastors.
Yep.
Like Steve Elzinga is a good friend of mine, and when we're together, I mean, what many times we're talking about is priorities and all of those things. But to me, the key issue about others speaking into your life is, are you willing to be transparent enough to listen? And I know you have to find trusted people. And I know that you have to find the people that basically are not going to gossip about your transparency.
Yeah.
And you have to find all of those people. But I know in ministry, the way of closed, tight-lipped, no one else talks to you, in the way of ministry, you will get sidelined, killed, I believe.
Yeah.
Do you find the same
thing? Are there layers of that, do you think? I mean, in terms of, you said about with elders and all that, there's a layer of transparency, and yet there are some things that we struggle with that we don't want to, how would I say it, scare them to death or whatever about some of those things, so that we have to have that second layer and those other relationships that help keep things in perspective for us.
In your church, there is a layer of transparency, because in a sense, the elders or the leaders or so forth, like you say, scare them in a good way. Because really, they're, you know, like, But an outside pastor, an outside mentor, like, you know, I'll give you an example. You're in a church. You're in church for 3 years.
Right.
Okay? So you're in a church, and you're contemplating, you know, is my ministry effective here or not? Okay. I'm struggling right now with who I am in this church.
Mm-hmm.
The chemistry of this church is a certain way, and I'm wondering about my connection to that chemistry. Should I stay in this church? Should I not go to this church? Okay, if you go to the elders' meeting and just you're transparent about your struggle.
Yeah.
Here's my struggle. I'm transparent about it. No good.
Right.
Because usually, maybe there's one that would be able to handle it.
But you're going to scare them to death because all of a sudden they're thinking you're gone.
Look at he's disengaging. He's you know, it's many things like that and others. That you want to have levels and layers of
mentors. And I think that's the hard part of that, because we do want to be authentic and genuine and real. We don't want to be up on this pedestal. We want to be real with people. And yet there is a fine line of that, because I'm like you. I remember going to an elders meeting one time, having had a really difficult week.
Right.
And kind of just dumping, you know, laying that out there.
Right.
And I remember one of the elders, I'll never forget it, sitting across the table said, "Wow, I didn't realize you were so fragile." And I'm going, whoa, oh no, man, you know, what is that, that saying?
Right.
Not that I don't want them to realize I'm real, but the fragile piece then all of a sudden thought, uh-oh, you know, this guy's very ready to crack up at any moment.
Yeah, hurt your ministry.
So, exactly, that issue of credibility there sometimes.
I think there's layers. I think that's a good way to put it. And you have to, wisdom to kind of find through that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
How often do you go back and look at boundaries, scheduling, priorities, those kind of things, and reevaluate some of those things?
You know, I actually do it more now than ever.
Yeah.
I used to like be kind of set in my pattern, and that's what it was. But now it seems like, you know, I am asking that question on a weekly basis, because now I have so many choices of things I could do that I have to say no to.
Right.
So I do that way more now than earlier in my ministry. Early in the ministry, we had a certain pattern. You know, you wrote your sermon this day, you scheduled counseling at that time. You know, now it's sort of like for me, it's like I start my sermon Sunday night for about, you know, 45 minutes to a half hour.
Sunday night already? Wow.
Yes. Just a little bit. And what that is and I don't dominate the whole Sunday night. It might be like 9:30, 10 o'clock.
Right.
Sort of like, and I think about the day, I think about, you know, but then I will schedule like, on Wednesday is a day when I really want to get my sermon done.
Right.
But I for me, I need to start it so it percolates.
Yeah, that's good. Me too.
You know, and then I occasionally during the next 2 days, I might get out a commentary or get out the iPrograms and all that stuff. And but I Wednesday is sort of I want to, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
And the interesting thing about that is if you have a plan and you set those boundaries and at least you have some, you can always change it.
Yes.
You know, a funeral that comes up in the middle of the week or those interruptions that come up.
Yep.
If you don't have a plan, if you don't have a schedule of attack, then when those things come in, we have a tendency just to, you know, we're in trouble when we go into the panic mode.
You go by the seat of your pants, which might work once or twice, but then your phrases, your thoughts all start sounding the same.
Exactly.
Then what about you in this? I'm curious. How many times do you read about your boundaries?
Well, I think I especially do it once a year. When it comes to the end of the year, I have a tendency to look
back. That's a good point, because there's actually different kinds.
Exactly.
That's a good point.
So I look at those and say, hey, this worked out well this way, but here's an area that I need to look and reevaluate.
Yeah.
Some of those big areas particularly. But I'm like you as well, that I think the more that we put on our plate, then you have a tendency to reevaluate, is this the best use of my time? And one of the conversations we'll have in this, in the boundaries lectures, is this whole thing of, are there ways that set boundaries that I can work to my strengths more, that I'm doing more in those areas, you know, or less really, but I'm accomplishing much more. And I think that's important as we set some of those priorities.
Well, and I think a lot of the traps ministers you can get into is that you're good at something, and then you want to do it all the way, getting no one else to do it.
Exactly.
And then what happens is pretty soon you're doing everything.
Exactly. And that leads me into the question I want to raise and stuff. And that is, for many of the folks that are watching this lecture, they will be entering into a new church situation.
Yes.
They'll be transitioning, maybe planting a church.
Yeah.
And both you and I have been in those situations. how do we set those boundaries? Because early on in ministry or a Christian organization, you want to prove yourself, you know, that you can do this. Yes. And how do we do that? How do you find those balances?
You know, I have to have a guiding vision, mission, principle, and that is my work in this world is to create stages for others to release them for ministry in their calling and giftedness. And if I forget that, I own things way too much.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm always like, I'm like hunting always for who can do this.
It's good.
And as a church planter, I love planting churches.
Yeah.
And I've done a lot of them.
Right.
And I love helping church planters plant churches, and I've helped a lot of them.
Right.
But I'll always, as I just love it. At first, you're doing everything, and it's all you.
Exactly.
There is you.
Exactly.
It's just you.
Exactly.
You. That's it. Your wife. You. That's it. Yep. Hello. Church of one. Church of one family.
It. Yeah.
It's me. It's you're alone.
Right.
So then you hunt, so to speak, for who God has to help you.
Yeah.
But if you find that person, that next person, and then you babysit them, control them, don't develop them, then there's, so you find another and another. And then pretty soon you have the church. The maximum I've seen that can function with that is about 50 people maximum, and a bunch of interdependent, controlling, resentful people who are not.
And you created that. And you created that unintentionally, but you created that.
Yes.
That's right.
Yeah.
And so if we're going to make sure when we plant that it becomes a healthy reproducing church, that we have to intentionally start, like you said, with that idea that we're constantly looking to reproduce and hand off, work ourselves out of that job.
Yes.
It may mean a lot of work up front for us.
Yes.
And we've got to remember that it's not just the fact that we've got to preach well and establish the foundation and leadership, but all along, maybe the most important thing we're doing is mentoring that next layer of leadership, next generation of leaders.
Well, if you plant a church and the DNA of the church is that you release ministries and reproduce, then that's the culture of the church. If you plant a church, get everybody connected to you as the spiritual babysitter of the church, you're going to violate your own personal boundaries, violate their boundaries, never maximize who they are called to be, and the church is going to be stuck to you.
Right. And it happens all the time, and we don't mean to do
it.
But unless we're intentional in moving in that direction from the very beginning, whether it's a transition into a new ministry or planting a church or heading into an organization to lead that Christian organization, we've got to have that up front. No doubt. No doubt.
Wow. Wow.
So what happens when you violate one of your boundaries? How do you sort of deal with that?
Well, you know, I'll tell you, sadly enough, I violate too many of my own boundaries.
Yeah.
I'm not talking moral boundaries.
Right.
I'm just talking like some of my priority expectation boundaries. I mean, that's the honest truth about it. And when it happens, you know, sometimes I pray about it. Sometimes I'll talk to my wife about it. And I'll be transparent with the appropriate transparent people about it.
Right.
I was like, you know, today was a rotten day, and I just really didn't get anything done. And then the people I share with, it's not like you want the fix-it people. When you pray or, you know, because, you know, it's sort of like when you violate one of your own boundaries, you can sort of get a cynicism. Like, I violated my own boundaries, why do I even have boundaries? You know, I'm just going to, like, do without boundaries and expectations because I failed too many times. And
So, and the danger in that you know, particularly if you violate those family boundaries or violate those God relationship boundaries, is that we can grow angry, resentful at the people when it was really us who didn't say no.
I know it's us.
But
we blame others.
Exactly.
We get cynical about ourselves. We blame others.
That's right.
Instead of taking responsibility.
Exactly.
And then that transparency and that creating a culture. Like, you know, one of the things I've done over the years is I'll create boundaries by which I can help to succeed in.
Yep.
Okay. So, in other words, like, dinner time is always at this time, whether I feel like it or not.
Right.
And then we have this policy in our house. It's the devotional whistleblowing policy. Now, what this is, it's hilarious, you know.
So, there is a new boundary. We'll make sure we put that down.
Okay, so here we are, and I'm not necessarily feel liking it, and I'm thinking that, you know, I got to go work on something. But we have this policy. The first person who says it's time for devotions, we all have to get up, and do it.
Wow.
And you know what reality is somebody will. And if somebody doesn't, other than my wife, who's my wife, so keep track of her, she will.
Yeah, she will.
But she's not the controller. She's sort of like, you know, then Ann will, then
right.
Abby. So,
right.
But now, that's a boundary where you sort of create a hard boundary.
Exactly.
Doesn't
exactly.
matter how you feel like that.
That's right.
That day,
that's right. That's right.
It's going to happen.
That's good. That's good. And and that it helps keep perspective and it brings everything back to center. And that's
yes.
the beauty of boundaries
yeah.
is, you know, sometimes they feel hard,
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
but they're there for a purpose because
yeah.
it keeps us in balance.
Yeah.
And we can always adjust those as
oh,
we
yeah.
need to. But
yeah.
some of those are needing to stay. It's the
yes.
seatbelt policy
yeah.
thing, you know. There,
right.
it feels tough at times, and I forget to click it,
right.
but it's a reminder this is for your safety. This is to bring us back
that's
to balance.
That's a really good analogy.
Yeah, yeah.
That is.
Let's talk about maybe one of the toughest ones, and that's moral boundaries.
Okay.
What are some pieces of wisdom that you would say in terms of for us to protect our hearts and to protect our minds and our purity,
yeah.
and particularly in relationships as pastors
right.
and leaders of Christian organizations?
Yeah, I think that's an excellent question because many pastors and leaders have been morally failing
yep.
in the last 20
yep.
years.
Yep.
And what boundaries do you keep in mind? Now, first of all, this is an interesting subject because on the one side, there's the heart.
Right.
Okay. And you don't want to, like, have it where your boundaries cover even an impure heart, that at the end of the day, you're going to be, like, doing right because your boundaries have made things so rigid that you're doing right.
Right. Exactly.
Now, on the other
exactly.
hand, the heart is deceitful.
Yep.
And you can easily
right.
convince yourself that, oh, this isn't that bad,
right.
and so forth.
Right.
So, and there's somewhat of a balance there. And here's why I found it's a balance. Because if you go to, if your whole life is just one boundary after another, there's no joy.
Right.
But if you're
no
whole,
freedom.
Yeah,
no freedom.
And there's no grace, no
right.
forgiveness.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
On the other hand,
right.
if all you are is just sort of like, I'm just playing as a go, and I'm not, you know,
exactly.
that's very dangerous.
Exactly.
But in issues of morality and stuff like that, this important distinction is very important.
Right.
I just was redundant there. But
right.
It,
right.
I
you're
guess
right.
I,
you're
you
right.
know, for me, like, I remember early in my ministry, I'm in my 20s, and somebody called up and said, oh, Pastor, I'm going to meet with you, a woman.
Yep.
And so she gets there, and she's my age.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it's 6 o'clock at night.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's, and I didn't really know what, you know, so we get meeting and you know what? She's not wearing a bra.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
You know what I find out? Now, I had a very quick meeting. I knew it was uncomfortable.
Right.
I should have never taken the meeting.
Exactly.
Well, ended up short meeting and I had a woman counselor,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it came out as she was doing extensive counseling. This is 20-some years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And she was not wearing a panty.
Mm-hmm.
And she wanted to have sex with a holy man.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
And, you know, here I was.
Right.
I put myself in this position
right, right.
where...
Right.
You know,
right.
so, thank you, Lord. I learned on that day.
Right.
You know, I will always be exceptionally careful.
Exactly.
To, like, if I'm meeting with a woman, I'm meeting, you know, in our office, we have the big windows.
Exactly.
You know,
right.
If I'm meeting with someone, this week, a woman wanted to meet with me, and I actually had my assistant, Jim Martin, our dean, it was about a ministry train thing, the woman was
mm-hmm.
near our age.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I just said, Jim, will you sit in the meeting?
Exactly. Exactly.
And then you'll learn some things about some stuff.
Yeah.
But the point being is even, it's just not in counseling.
Right.
But even like in shared ministry.
Right. That's exactly right.
You know, and so that's one
boundary. And always better to err on the side of caution.
Yes.
Because, you know, one of the things that we'll say in one of the lectures that we'll talk about with boundaries is nobody plans on sinning.
Right.
The problem is we don't plan on not sinning.
Got
in
it.
Other words, if we
yes.
don't create those boundaries
yes.
beforehand,
yes.
that there is nothing that when you went to those meetings, it was out of the right motive,
right.
the right desire,
yes.
boom, then you're caught.
Yes.
And sometimes, in that situation, you know, we're all right. vulnerable in those issues. But if we created a plan, if right. we've got an escape hatch, if we've got those boundaries, inviting Jim into that meeting, not saying that anything would have happened,
no.
not that you planned to,
no.
but you are communicating something to
right.
her,
right.
and I think you're saying something to yourself
yeah.
continually when you do that. And I know, both you and I know that when we were younger, we didn't, you know, we thought we had it all figured out. We were okay. If
yes.
you would have said those kind of things, we probably would have said, oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And now we've learned.
We have, you know, and I'll say something about that story. I talked about that woman coming my age at 6 o'clock.
Right.
You know, I kind of made it sound like the temptresses out there are out there to pick us off.
Right.
You know, as much as I would say that is there is a tempter in our own
oh,
heart.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
The you know, it's not this woman's fault.
Exactly.
Because after they did extensive counseling, they found out abuse issues. They
right.
found out all
sure.
kinds of stuff.
Sure.
And this, she herself was a victim.
Sure. Exactly.
So a victim comes into my world.
Right.
And you could.
Right.
Without boundaries of the heart and boundaries that are clear.
Yeah.
You could hurt her.
Exactly.
See, so
exactly.
it's not just the temptresses.
Exactly.
Or,
and I think that's
know,
the balance and find that. But
it's also
the potential
you.
In all of us. And that's
yeah, I mean,
why,
that's the same with internet porn and
exactly
all the other
right.
stuff. You know, whether it's net nannies or whether it's accountability with your wife or whether it's, you know, not allowing yourself to be alone. I mean,
right.
I mean, those are boundary issues
exactly.
that, you know, you have to figure that out.
Right.
And in what you know, I know some of you, it's like, you know, I'll see you in the ministry, but, you know, sometimes, you know, I looked at porn. What do I do now? Should
right.
I? And it was, okay, learn from it.
Right.
You know, set better boundaries in your life.
Right.
Talk to your wife. You know, get to that place where those type of rendezvous are rare.
Right.
They're not something
right.
that is you, and to the point when this doesn't happen at all. You know,
yeah.
I mean, you know, it's that.
And I think one of those things.
They're getting outside help.
Yeah. And
yeah.
one of those things we've talked about in terms of boundaries in this series is the idea of that boundaries are to make sure that we keep certain things out, but
yes.
also that we keep certain things in.
Got it.
And that's really, really important that we do that, because
yes.
if we haven't prepared that, and it doesn't mean we're going to fail, because we don't want to create boundaries as legalism,
yeah.
because we know if there are boundaries, we can fake them out.
Yes.
We can adjust them and
yeah.
move them and say, well, you know,
yeah.
it's no big deal.
Yeah.
So workable, accountable boundaries in some of those areas,
yeah.
reevaluating those things, when we violate those boundaries, deal with it, confess,
yes, sir. Yeah.
Whatever we need to do in terms of authenticity with somebody
yep.
and the vulnerability,
yep.
and then make sure that we reset some of those boundaries in a way that's really right and proper for us.
Excellent. Wow.
Yeah.
But quickly, go through these important ministry boundaries. And
yeah.
they're all important.
Yeah, every one of them. And
yeah.
so I think, you know, as we wrap this up and stuff, the think through, if you were to start over in ministry today
mm-hmm.
and you were to think about boundaries, okay, what are the areas, and I remember you said family was really
yeah,
big and
yeah.
all those kind of things. If you can give like a few little nuggets of wisdom of anything else that we haven't covered here,
mm-hmm.
maybe it's staffing, maybe it's evaluating some of those things, maybe it's gaining some skills, anything
yeah.
else there, what would you toss out?
You know, I think there's the habits are an area that are a boundary in some ways is a habit. These are things
right,
you do
exactly.
over and over and over again.
Yep.
And probably what I would do if I were those, early on, I would not feel threatened about experience, successful in ministry and life believers, where I would go to them and see what they're doing and
yeah,
notice that they
people.
Have... solved, and they even are aware of boundaries I'm not aware of.
Good wisdom, yeah.
That if I were to do, and I did that to a large extent, but I really kicked in on that in my 30s.
Yeah.
But in my 20s or in my first in ministry, you know, I sort of like the experience of hard knocks
yeah.
taught me the
yeah.
boundaries
yeah.
that ought to happen.
Yeah.
But to do it over, I would be much more fine. You know, like at CLI, we talk about mentors.
Yes.
know, is it to hang out with your mentor.
Good point.
And talk about some of the boundary issues personally with your mentor or your pastor or someone who's into it. That's probably what
that's
I
good,
would suggest.
Because I think, you're, you know, like we've talked about before in marriage and stuff, that when we're looking at people, when whether our marriages are struggling or we just want them to get richer, we find those people who've been married 50, 60 years and take them out to dinner and have the conversation.
That's an example of that.
So here's exactly the same kind of way to say, hey, I'm watching this guy. He's successful in business.
Yeah.
He's a man of morality, integrity, you know, character. Yeah. That's what he's known as.
Yeah.
I don't care if he's a businessman or whatever.
Yeah.
I want to know, how do you do life? What does that look like?
Well, and I met with those people. You and Finn, too, now we're older. And it's funny. You know, okay, we'll talk about, like, a touchy thing. You know, talk about, like, porn, internet porn.
Right.
Okay, you meet with someone who's got their life together, and you're thinking that they're going to have, and then they tell you, oh, they've struggled with the two.
Exactly.
Really? Oh.
Yeah.
Then you'll find out, this is what they, oh, that's helpful. And you'll find out that even heinous things of your life, you are not unique.
Exactly.
And struggle with them alone.
Right.
Everybody is human.
Yep.
And everybody has secrets and answers to how God has worked in their lives.
Yeah.
And so then finding those teachers, those mentors, what happens is you start creating a culture of support.
Right.
And that culture of support becomes an incredible bond.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's why we as leaders, we need to share that with the next generation of leaders and to say to them the very things that you said, because nobody wants to talk to a leader who says, oh, that problem? Never had it.
Yes.
You know, because I cannot learn anything from that individual.
No. And no one believes you either.
Exactly.
All right.
Exactly.
Okay, that's right.
So
okay.
I want that individual who does, in some sense, have clay feet, but he has a heart that's strong after God and pursuing that and recognizes some of those boundaries.
Yes.
And I think not only to seek those out, but to make sure that we become those kind of leaders and mentoring and discipling and being that kind of leader and those people that we have a connection.
Wow.
Hey, Henry, thanks a lot, man, for the conversation.
Yeah, this
was
really fun.
It was great.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
Excellent.